In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today we have a special festival that we celebrate. We celebrate the memory of the new martyrs and confessors of Russia. We know in the history of the Church, martyrdom existed from the very beginning. Our Lord, the Scriptures, referred to as the first martyr, the one who gave his life for the salvation of the world. And from the time of the Lord and his apostles, persecution was something that the Church endured. We know that of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were martyrs, only St. John the theologian was not. And as the Church expanded and went throughout the world, suffered persecution at the hands of the Romans. You know about the great persecutions that the Church suffered during that time. We know with the rise of Islam, the Church was persecuted and continues to be persecuted by that ungodly religion. We know today, in parts of the world, people are still having their blood shed for the name of Jesus Christ. Martyrdom is a very serious aspect to our Christian faith. In fact, it's at the very core of what our Christian faith is all about. Martyrdom literally means witness. The martyr is a witness to Jesus Christ, who is a witness to the Father's love for the world. As Christians, we're called to be witnesses. We're called to be martyrs. When we look at the new martyrs and confessors of Russia, we see martyrdom in numbers beyond compare. If you add up all of the martyrs from the previous centuries and you compare them with the martyrs of the 20th century, you see that there are innumerable more martyrs in the 20th century than there were in all the others combined. I want to read to you something from Wikipedia, which is a brief description of the persecution of Christians in the Soviet Union. Throughout the history of the Soviet Union, Christianity was suppressed and persecuted to different extents, depending upon the particular era. Soviet policy toward religion was based on the ideology of Marxism-Leninism. Marxism-Leninism had consistently advocated the control, suppression, and elimination of religion. The state was committed to the destruction of religion and destroyed churches, mosques, and temples, ridiculed, harassed, and executed religious leaders, flooded the schools and media with atheistic teachings, and generally promoted atheism as the truth that society should accept. The total number of Christian victims of Soviet state atheist policies has been estimated to range between 12 and 20 million. That number should be startling for us, to the extent that the Church was persecuted, that blood was shed for the name of Christ. There are some charts on this handout that will give us a glimpse, just a glimpse of what actually transpired during these horrific persecutions. We know that the Bolshevik Revolution happened in 1917, and that brought the onslaught against the Church. At the time, 1917, there were some 72,000 churches and chapels. In 1941, only 4,000 monasteries, there were 1,025, and then that number went down to 20. Seminaries, academies, and schools, 208, which went down to zero. In all of the land of Russia, which, by the way, spans 11 time zones, every church school was eliminated. Clergy and monastics, approximately 100,000 before the revolution, down to 5,665. Bishops, 160, down to 7. In 1932, Stalin set out with a plan. His plan was called the 5-Year Godless Plan. The idea was in 5 years, from 1932 to 1937, the name of God would be eliminated from Russia. No one would be a believer in 5 years. And you see the ferocity in which he went to implement this plan. The survey was done in 1937, and they found that of the people in the city, one-third still believed in God, despite this terrible persecution. For the people in the countryside, it was two-thirds. The people still retained their faith even amidst this persecution. Might even say that their faith was strengthened. When we look at this question of martyrdom, and we think as Christians, and we're called to be witnesses, how does this apply to us? How are we to answer the call of martyrdom, of witness? St. Paul gives us a good way to look at it. He says that man is either carnal or he's spiritual, that he's fleshly or he's godly. And as Christians, we know what we are called to be, that we're called to be spiritual and godly people. And we're called to put to death within us that old man who is fleshly and carnal. That we're called to be new men and women, resurrected in Christ, people who are full of godliness, who are witnessing to that love that is the divine nature. And we put to death within us the old man. It's one way in which we are called to be martyrs. We're called to break out of the carnal mold. The carnal man is motivated by two primary things. He's afraid of pain, and he pursues pleasure. This is what the earthly man does. If we think about our existence, how the world tries to instruct us and teach us, the most important things in life are to avoid pain and suffering and to acquire pleasures. And this is how we define success even. Some of you maybe have seen the bumper sticker, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Right? The success is defined by material things, material life. And this is what the carnal man is all about. And yet the spiritual man is different. The carnal man who's at enmity with God is different from the spiritual man who's a friend of God. And what is the spiritual man? Does that mean that he does the exact opposite of the carnal man? Instead of loving pleasures, he hates pleasures. Instead of fearing pain and suffering, that he embraces it? No, that's a perversion of the carnal man. That's two sides of the same coin. The spiritual man isn't someone who hates the earth, isn't someone who seeks to destroy his body, isn't somebody who is against pleasure. The spiritual man is someone who is focused on God and makes the body subservient to the soul. That everything in life is a pursuit of God and virtue and the keeping of the commandments and love. Everything that gives eternal life, true life. When we look at this comparison, we could see that the spiritual man really then is not afraid of pain and suffering if he's practicing virtue. The spiritual man is not afraid to give up pleasures and the earthly things if he's practicing virtue. The spiritual man, in a sense, is a martyr because he's not afraid to give up his life on earth for eternal life. Look at these new martyrs and confessors of Russia. The numbers are great, 12 to 20 million. And each of them has a story in their own lives, how they were witnesses, how they put to death the old man, how they weren't afraid to suffer, how they weren't tempted by giving up the faith so that they could advance in the world. They were offered all of these things. Look at the lives of the saints from the beginning to the end. When someone was put to the test for Christ, when they were put on trial, they would be offered two things. They'd be offered all of the pleasures that they wanted. They'd be offered wealth. They'd be offered all of these earthly things. And they were told, if you don't deny Christ, then you're going to suffer torture. You'll be beaten. You'll be whipped. You have your limbs cut off. You'll suffer death. And neither the desire for pleasure nor the fear of pain deterred these martyrs from their mission of witnessing to God, keeping the commandments, being virtuous people, attaining that eternal life to which they were called. St. Today, in America, we probably will not face martyrdom by blood. It can happen, but probably it won't. You know, interestingly, in Russia, people never had the idea that they would suffer this type of persecution. It was Holy Russia that for centuries had been Orthodox. And they had no idea that this revolution could come and that they would suffer the shedding of their blood. But it did come. In America, we think, well, probably not going to happen here. But it could. It could happen here. But even if it doesn't happen to the point of shedding blood, we're still called to be martyrs in a different way. We're called to be martyrs by people who listen to God and keep His commandments and pursue virtue and not live that earthly life, that carnal life that is just about fearing pain and pursuing pleasure. We have to be people who witness to something higher, something more important. Last Sunday, we spoke about divisions and how divisions can be overcome. And there are two ways primarily that divisions are overcome. One is the world's way, where all absolute truth and goodness and light and life, all of that becomes relative. And good and evil are mixed, right and wrong are mixed, moral and immoral are mixed, and everybody gets along and we have a brotherhood on earth that is not in relation to God. That is humanism. And this is the way of the world. This is what happened in Russia. This is what they implemented. They removed God from their society and they had this brotherhood. And what happened? Did they have that peace that they sought, that brotherhood, that common humanity? No. They lost that. And they killed vast amounts of people. And they ended up collapsing. Communism collapsed. They were out of money. They were out of food. They were out of resources. And they were almost out of blood. They were almost out of people. The alternative, as we spoke about last Sunday, to union is to turn to God and be united to God. Not to lose absolutes. Not to lose the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, moral and immoral. We have to ask ourselves, what direction is our nation heading in? Where are we heading? Are we removing God from society? Are we removing Him from schools? Are we removing Him from media? Are we removing Him from every facet of life, politics, workplace, everything? We're removing Him so that we can have this common brotherhood. This has happened already. And we see how it ends up. Brothers and sisters, now is the time for us to be witnesses. To not listen to men, but to listen to God. To not pursue materialism, but to pursue godliness. To be people who don't live just for the body, but live for the soul. This is our mission as Christians. If we're to be witnesses, this is our calling. It might not be in our lifetime for the shedding of blood. But it might be to stop the shedding of blood of the next generation or the generation after that. We have to consider the course of our nation. We have to consider our role in that. Are we going to be complicit? Or are we going to recognize what's going on, see where it will lead, and do everything we can to reverse it? To turn our nation back to God. Brothers and sisters, the new martyrs and confessors of Russia are a witness not just to the Russian people. They're a witness to all people all over the world. They're an example to follow of those who give their life, give their blood, give everything that they have to witness to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.